There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome back to the Infinity Warm-Up, Chapter 11. This week we're talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy. This week I am joined by Daniel and Jacob as we talk about the first real experiment, I guess, or the next real experiment in the MCU, as they have completely changed their tone from the Cap and Iron Man and introduce a space opera with a band of misfits who meet in prison.
Yeah, a tree.
A tree, a talking raccoon.
An ugly whatever that is. And then what's his name?
I don't know what he was referring to.
What's
there?
You talking
about Star-Lord?
No.
Drax?
Chris Pratt, he's cool.
That's Star-Lord. You're referring to Star-Lord.
I'm not referring to him. Ronan? I'm referring to... Who's that ugly guy?
Drax?
Yeah. Oh.
Trash, yeah.
Trash?
Ugly. Trash. Trash the Destroyer.
He was bad in this one.
Well, we'll talk about that. And together they seek to protect the next Infinity Stone from another cookie-cutter villain that could have very well been the guy from Thor, and there was some discussion of that while we were watching it. I think it was Ronan the Accuser in this one.
I accuse you.
Now, have both of you seen this one before?
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, what do you mean have we both seen it? We watched it so we can podcast this with you.
I meant before we watched it together.
Oh, yeah. I was like, is Steve, like, what's going on? I'm like, what's wrong with Steve? I'm
like, we know you've seen the movie. We watched it together, Jake.
Like, what?
So, guys, here we are, Chapter 11. What did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Meh.
I got a meh and a yikes. Explain.
Well, for me, trash means it's like it shouldn't have been existed. They should burn the copies.
What?
And then after that, meh means it's really bad and I wish I'd never seen it again.
Why?
Because it's trash.
Okay, but you sound like my 3-year-old when I ask him a question. He just goes, because. You can't. You gotta say more than it's trash.
Cause the villain was like Whipman from Iron Man 2.
He wasn't quite Whiplash bad.
Well, no, he was worse than Whiplash.
I just found him boring.
He didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything.
You're
and then
right.
He had like purple in him.
Yeah, he was bad. He didn't stand out for me.
Keep going.
Thank you.
No, I'm putting it there so you can hear Daniel too.
No, he didn't stand out for me. He was just like, he seems like he should be like one of those side men that like don't belong in the movie.
Like a sidekick to the villain.
Yeah, he's like the Robin.
But everybody likes Robin.
Yeah, no one likes that guy.
I just thought he was as boring as the one that was in Dark World. Thor Dark World had a terrible villain.
Oh, so boring.
That white guy.
That's a lullaby to me.
That's a lullaby to me.
Yeah, legit leave.
Okay, so... That is a shockingly bad report to me. I thought you liked it more than that, but...
I don't like it that much. I like the main four. Like, I like the Guardians. The villain ruined the movie for me.
Okay.
Main four, yet there's five?
Oh.
Well, maybe there's one he doesn't like.
Drax don't count. No, I'm kidding. I like Drax. I just forgot. Just like, I thought there was four for a second. Whoops. Five.
Okay.
Daniel, what did you think?
Well, it's not my favorite, but I didn't dislike it as much as Jacob did. I just felt like this movie's, like, really, like, just all over the place. Like, you know, 5 minutes they're in one place, then they're in, like, jail or something, then they're near, like, the collector's, like, house, and then they're at, like, some other place. Like, it's just, like, all over the place. It doesn't have, like, a lot of time where they just kind of, like, sit down and, like, do something. It's just kind of like that.
Yeah, it's like a rip-off Star Wars.
How is it a rip-off wrong. Star Wars?
False. What if I flexed?
What if I flexed? No, I just wanted to say that.
I hear you. So you said that you didn't like the fact, or you're just saying it was all over the place.
Yeah, I don't really like this movie. I feel like the second one was just a lot more, like, grounded, and it actually had, like, a full-on plot. This one was just kind of, like, trying to throw a lot at you in, like, an hour and, what, 45 minutes? Like, however long it was.
With what they were trying to do, I think the movie would need more time. Like a longer movie.
Well, what do you think they were trying to do?
I don't know. That's why.
Too much.
I think it needs a longer movie. It's like, it was kind of like, once, like Daniel said, it was, like, all over the place. So I was like, what are you doing? And then I find out now, the next, like, 10 minutes, now they're in Narnia.
Not legit. They went to Narnia.
False.
Not legit.
With Mr. Tumnus and the White Witch. Yes,
for sure.
Ronan?
I like the characters.
I like the characters.
Jackson other than tracks. Ronan the Boring.
He's kind of trash.
Ronan the Interchangeable.
They should have cut him out of the movie and made a new movie.
He was the type of villain that if he just wasn't in the movie, it wouldn't have changed it that much.
No, I feel like it would have just been casual.
It would have just been like an everyday.
He's just like, you know, like when you're in a video game, you get like that generic skin that nobody likes. That's like the hero. I mean, not the hero, the villain.
The villain in this one, Ronan.
Yeah, just generic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
One of the villains.
But you see, this one also, it had Thanos. It sets up Thanos.
Okay, Thanos is cool, though.
And?
Thanos is cool.
And Nebula.
Nebula.
Yes, Nebula's in this.
Ew.
Wait, what?
Wrong.
Ew. I'm kidding. I love Nebula. I'm kidding. I actually like Nebula.
Me too.
She's pretty cool. Or it's. I don't know.
But this one's really different, too. Sure. Like, this is the one that sort of, you know, almost literally gives the finger to everything that came before. Even the ones, Iron Man was the ones, and Thor kind of had comedy. Iron Man had a lot of comedy. This is almost like a, well, I don't even know how to describe it. It has a soundtrack. Like, when this came out, everybody was talking about the soundtrack as much as they were talking about the movie. None of the other ones used music the way this one uses music. Now, I understand that's important to the character. Star-Lord had it. So I'm not saying it was random, but this one is the one that was almost a pure action comedy in every way, like, I think. Whether or not you liked it or thought it was erratic, when they're standing there talking, it's all banter. It's all
funny. Like the movie was like funny. Like, I'm not saying it. I'm saying like it was still trash, but it was funny. Like, it was still like, this may sound weird, but like it was trash, but it was funny too. I like certain parts. It was funny, but then just all around the movie was like trash. You know what I'm trying to say?
Cause, like, well, apparently you're trying to say it's like trash.
It's
so
trash,
that's
but
harsh.
Like it only had like one scene that I actually enjoyed, and I don't even remember it, so it wasn't even that important.
I do agree with, I think Daniel was one, said the second one's better.
Yeah, it is. The second one's much better. I like the second one.
I feel like the problem with this one is that it's introducing everyone that's in it.
Yeah, I love it
too. Right, okay.
And you really, like, they do give, like, from what I can remember, they give, like, a little bit of backstory for Star-Lord, but it's not a lot. And then everyone is just kind of like, oh, this is Gamora. She did that one time. This is Drax. He has no family anymore. This is Raccoon. He's
a raccoon
that's like everything else. This is a tree. Like, it's, I feel like they just like introduce so many characters, and it's like, you know, we don't really get to learn about them.
They literally do that because when they're in the lineup at the police or police or the prison, they just sort of move through them and say, just say, Gamora, she's adopted daughter of Thanos, and they actually give you a bio on each character. They suicide squad each one of the characters. Of course, this came before.
I really hope no, like, really, really big fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy 1 hears what I had to say about them. It's like,
what?
That's okay.
No,
next
I said
question.
Words I say in order of some type.
Yeah, I'm not Yoda.
yikes.
I'm not a Jedi. But anyways, I was saying,
Jedi master.
Okay, whatever. No, but I'm saying, like, I really hope someone who's like listening to this is not like one of those like very, very heavy Guardian of the Galaxy 1 movie fan, because like they're gonna be like, oh, who is this kid?
Okay.
They don't know where you live. I think you're fine.
Well, no, they did.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting about this one, too, is when you look back at the movies we've seen since Avengers, mm-hmm. every one we've watched, in mm-hmm. some way or another, has them dealing with sort of the darkness in themselves or the evil in themselves or some different way, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got good guys dealing with the bad. Mm-hmm. But this one is the bad guys and you're looking for the good in a lot of ways. What do you guys think of that state? Do you think mm-hmm. that's true? Do you disagree? That's what I would say, but I mean, you might disagree.
I agree, but I also feel like the bad guys, like they also kind of like represent like a bad thing. Like Drax, for example, like he's like mourning the death of his like family, so he's like that like darkness that's, you know, fueling his rage to get to Ronan. You have like Raccoon, who's like, you know, kind of like an, like it's like an identity crisis. Rocket. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're just like a raccoon, you're a rodent. He gets like so defensive of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, knowing that he is like a raccoon is like, you know, something that's
bugging him.
It's something that's bugging him, and he's trying to like kind of be known as something else. Or
He wants to be known as Rocket, not Raccoon.
Well, he doesn't know what a raccoon is.
Yeah,
they call him a raccoon. He says, "What's that? I have no idea what that is."
Yeah, he's like, "It's you," but he's like, "No one can be me."
Yeah, there ain't no thing like me except me. Yeah, he does say that.
Oh, that's the greatest line in the whole movie, right there.
Is that the only one you remember?
Yeah. Otherwise, the one where the mom is like, hold my hand, and then after that, he doesn't hold her hand.
You know that? Okay, yeah, that's right. I know that line.
That was my line that I was like, oh no. Sorry, I'm just really not into this one, because like, I really didn't like the movie.
That's okay.
We can tell.
We have guessed that.
And I have nothing good to say about it, so I
don't know. Okay, well, that's...
You're like, oh, well, yikes.
Yikes. It's going to make the next 10 minutes pretty awkward then.
Age of Ultron.
So then what do you think though about that idea? You've got these bad guys and like you said, you're fine. What you're saying, they've got their backstories or something.
I feel like they're like, I don't know. I don't even really think that they're trying to do good because like all they're doing is like, they're trying to get like, well, they don't know that it's the Infinity Stone, but they're trying to get like the orb to whoever they were going to get it to at first. I can't remember who it was. But they were trying to get it to them just so that they can get the money and that they could split it. Like, it wasn't like they were, like, you know, trying to go out and save the world. It's like, you know, they ended up doing good by accident.
I think you're right.
Money, yeah.
I think you're right. They ended up doing good by accident. But I think the movie is very sympathetic to them. Like, it doesn't make them look like villains, even if they're trying to do... Even if they're doing the wrong thing. It's interesting, because the movie sort of... The movie never paints them as heroes, but the movie sort of looks at them as, look, they're bad guys, but they're not bad guys. I think I'm quoting Wreck-It Ralph now when I say that, but it's like, just because they're bad guys doesn't mean they're bad guys.
Yeah, they're legit, yeah.
Every one of them has something about them that, well, quote, diamond in the rough, I guess, in some ways, right? That je ne sais quoi. And actually, I like what you brought up before. You talked about, or you brought up Rocket, saying there ain't no thing like me except me. Something different about this film is it uses nicknames and labels. That's what I'm looking for, labels a lot. I think, actually, Gamora says at one point, she says, I'm going to die with the biggest idiots in the galaxy. You know, they're constantly putting each other down, or other people are. They start cursing at these people, or people start cursing at them. Calling them things, calling them jerks, calling them vermin. Rocket's really sensitive to the idea of being called vermin. Why do you think that is so big in this movie?
I think maybe they're trying to, like, get out of, like, the whole, like, label thing. Like, they don't want to be, like, you know, just kind of tied down to, like, whenever you think of Gamora, you think of, like, you know, one certain thing. Or, like, whenever you think of Rocket, you're not like, oh, that vermin. Like, like they're trying to, like, step out of, like, being labeled as one certain thing, so whenever it happens, they get, like, you know, like Rocket, they get, like, very defensive of it.
Yeah, he wants to be something more. Like, he wants to have, like, a higher, like, reputation or something. because, like, it feels like if he was just known as the rodent or whatever, he's just known as some regular dude, or, like, animal, or whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you call him, like, a raccoon or, like, a rodent or a vermin, he gets defensive because then he feels like he's just one of those generic rodents.
Mm-hmm.
When he wants to be something way more than that, right?
Yeah, I think when they approach, is it the Nova Corps?
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, the line that John C. Reilly's character, I forget what it is, I don't even know what his name is, it doesn't matter, says, is that when Star-Lord leaves him a message, he says, I want you to trust me, and I'm not fully an a-hole. I think that's actually the line he says. So it's like, look, there's something a little bit more to me than the label you put on me, because that's what they call him the whole movie. But Star-Lord, when he messages him, says, I know you think of me as this, but I'm not fully that. There's more to me than this.
Yeah, it's like a first judgment thing.
Yeah.
They're like judging a book by its cover.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to do that. But they did.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Genius.
Sorry?
It's like genius.
Here's a question for you. Since last week we were talking about Cap 2, Winter Soldier.
That was good.
We talked a lot about trust in that movie. And mm-hmm. We talked about what makes someone trustworthy. But in this movie, I think Star-Lord actually says to Gamora, you know, if we're going to work together, it'd go a long way if you would trust me. This is a similar theme, and I think it's interesting. I feel like this chapter is the first one that sort of carried through themes of where they go in the characters, and I think this is the next time they talk about the idea of trust. So what does it look like in this movie? What do you think?
Okay, so I feel like the trust was, like, very low mm-hmm. in the beginning. It's like, we're all fighting each other. Mm-hmm. It's like, except for Rocket and Groot, they weren't fighting each other. They were teaming up against, like, the two guys, like, they were teaming up against Star-Lord and Gamora? Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, Gamora and Star-Lord weren't teaming up. So, like, it was, like, two chasing. It was, like, a bad guy and, like, a good guy. But, like, they're both bad, because you know what I'm saying? Because, like, they're two, like, separate teams.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and then when they actually got to talk to each other, the trust was still low because they just got done trying to kill each other, capture them for money. So it's going to be very tense. And then I feel like the tension in between all the characters lowered the trust for a long time in the movie
mm-hmm.
until it was, like, some scene that meant something to where they didn't.
Yeah, when does it change? When does it start to change for them, do you think?
I think it really starts to change after... I think after Gamora almost, like, dies in space.
Yeah, and then Star-Lord comes changing. In, leaves him out, and then gives her that thing.
Why does that change it?
Because it's saying that he's willing to, like, almost, like, risk his life for her.
Not even that. Like, it literally saying, like, he's willing to die for her.
Yeah. He said it because he was basically dying.
Disgusting.
He was dead. And then, but then it shows, like, that he has, like, so much trust and someone's, like, I wouldn't say love. I don't know. But, like, she has, like, a very big importance to his life. Like, she plays a big effect on his life during the time. So he was willing to die for her, to where he went out, gave the mask. But I feel like that helps trust a lot, because it shows that, like, when you care about someone, it's easier to trust someone that you care about than a random guy that you don't care about.
I think, like, at this point in the movie, like, they're not really about just, like, getting the orb and taking it to whoever and getting the money. Now it's more getting it away from Ronan. So I think that, like, at this time, it's they have, like, a need for each other.
Hmm.
Like, they know that they all bring, like, certain, like, aspects.
Feed off of, like, each other's importance. Yeah, that's almost like our camp.
Yikes.
Just far from fighting aliens and Well, power dudes.
Sometimes fighting kids is like fighting aliens.
It's like fighting Thanos. But the thing is like, because like, this is like very off topic with the camp thing, but like that's just the closest thing I can relate it to.
That's okay, go for it.
It's like we all work as a team, right? And like each person in the camp plays a certain role, or like they bring a certain characteristic that makes the camp what it is. Like say we didn't have Flip or whatever. I don't know if that would really affect anyone. I'm kidding.
Oh.
But no, it would affect
try.
It would like maybe bring down like the responsibility of the group or whatever. It all takes like they all come together as one to form one super team, which is like what we do to make sure things run smoothly. So that's what they're doing. Yeah, you're right. We didn't form a team. And then
not what I said.
Oh, I thought you just said that. Whoops. Well, then.
Because no, you said we form a super team, and I said we just form a team.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm comparing it to.
If I'm hearing you right, though, what you're saying is that you recognize that everybody
has their parts.
Has their part. They have their value.
Kind of soda.
And actually, that's exactly what, I mean, sometimes you guys drive me right scripture, because that's what, you know, they talk about, you know, the hand cannot look at the foot and say, I do not need you. You know, all the parts need each other.
Hey, I don't need you.
But
I don't need you.
In a case like this, what you see is each one of them start. You're right. I think you're right when you say that they don't. It's not about for them the mission. It's about each other. You know, it's like Gamora. You mentioned that he loves Gamora. But I don't. It depends how you use it. I think it depends how you use that word.
I feel like it's like a unique kind of like love. I feel like the thing is like there's a difference between like love, and love. It may sound really weird how I'm trying to say it.
Okay, well describe how you're using love.
Love, in this movie, it seems like love is someone that you're trying to keep alive.
Yeah.
Because
like love.
Yeah. So it's just like. Casual, I don't want you to die because I like you enough to where I could say, like, I kind of, like, love you. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you die, I'd get over it a little later. That's what I feel like love kind of is in this movie.
Okay.
Because I guarantee you, if one of them were to die in, like, the beginning of the movie or, like, near the middle, maybe semi-near the end, it wouldn't affect Star-Lord, say, insanely. If they didn't survive, I feel like Guardian of the Galaxy 2, it wouldn't have affected Star-Lord as much as what, like, it could have. So, like, if it was, like, a love, then I could see, like, that could be something that strives him.
But they have just met, to be fair.
Yeah, so it is hard to love.
Daniel's raising his hand in a podcast.
Yeah, you can go.
Yeah, I feel like right now it's they have, like, a platonic love. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not, like, you know, obviously... At least not yet for, like, Star-Lord and Gamora. Like, it's not, like, a romantic thing or a sexual thing, although Star-Lord, like...
Well, he's... Yeah.
Exactly. But I feel like right now it's, like, they're at least, like, mutual enough with each other that, like, it's like, a friendship, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, with that, like, you know, them needing each other. Like, in the end of the movie, literally Star-Lord grabs the Infinity Stone. And instead of just, like, you know, everybody standing there and watching him, like, explode, like, you know, Gamora literally runs in and is yelling, like, grab my hand. And they all end up, like, you know, forming together to not explode. I don't know how, what they really did to not die, but...
Well, we find out more about Star-Lord's parent, like, so DNA in the second one, but... Yeah, it's interesting. In the Greek, there are three words for love.
Alpha.
No. Phila, like Philadelphia, is brotherly love. Eros is erotic or romantic love, and agape love, inappropriate.
Who?
Love. Agape love, which is unconditional love. It's godly love. So agape. when you read the word love in your Bible. It's important to know which one of those it is, because it changes a conversation. Like you said, the type of love that he has for Gamora in this one, he's a flirty guy, and he's obviously attracted to her, but he doesn't save her so he can, you know, hook up with her.
Yeah,
that's not, I don't think. But no. When you look at him, he's just, he actually says, like, ah, crap. And he's like, I got to do this. Like, I can't let her die. And I think this is why it goes back to the labels. I think this is why it's so important to talk about the labels in this movie, because I bet you when you watch this, this is the first time anybody else has seen them beyond those labels. You know what I mean? So people have been calling Rocket vermin forever. And Groot, the stupid tree monster, or whatever it is, you know, whatever they want to call him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they refer to Star-Lord as a-hole in the movie. And and this is the first time, though, that somebody is seeing him as more than that thing. And I think that that's what's drawing them together.
Because they see like, the bigger picture of each person.
Mm. Well, one of the things I like that Drax says at the end of the movie, he says, I am grateful for your acceptance after my blunders. You know, he calls, you know, Rogo the No-Go or whatever his name is.
Okay.
He calls the villain to come to try and kill him, and rather than casting him out, they still keep him around. And that's pretty big. He says, I'm grateful for your acceptance of me after my blunders. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's a pretty significant thing for him to realize. The other thing that they say is that in that conversation where they're standing around talking about the part of a plan, which I love that conversation. I don't know how you guys can't love that type of banter. I love banter, and I love that where he's like, well, I have 1/12 of a plan, or what's it like? 12%. Or 12% of a plan. That's what it is. And one of the things that the Gamora says to him is, you're asking us to die. And he says, yeah, I guess I am, because, you know, he died for her. That's not why he's doing it. It's not pay me back. It's let's die for something other than just dying. Let's die with meaning. That's love, man. That's sacrifice. This is the beginning of sacrifice in these characters. So whether or not you like the villain, and there's nothing to like about the villain other than a few cameos of Thanos and Nebula, who's awesome, and I love Karen Gillan, and I hope one day to chat with her because she is just wonderful.
Someone has a crush.
I do, a little bit.
Agape?
An agape crush. It's a healthy one. It's good.
Now she's definitely not coming to
us. Yeah, no, because now it sounds like I'm a creep. That's not. I just really like her. I respect her. But, I mean...
respect, eh?
Megan talks about Thor for like...
Yeah, but that's
Meg. For like 3 weeks, and I talk about Karen Gillan once. And,
yeah, but that's like Chris Hemsworth.
That's true. He is the Hemsworth. Anyway.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Okay. But the point is that when I look at this movie, it really is to me about these characters and their value. Anything else you guys want to talk about with this movie before I wrap it up?
Nebula? No, I really don't.
Do you want to talk about Nebula?
Of course.
Go.
I'm Nebula.
Well, that is
Can we get name. More about Nebula?
Okay.
She looks like a
talk about Nebula. What do you think about Nebula? Nebula is an interesting character in this film.
Yeah. Well, my favorite character from both movies. She, in this movie, she's like a villain, or not like she is a villain, but she's not like, I don't know. She's kind of doing all of these bad things like for Thanos. So I feel like it's not fully her choice to, like, be a villain. Like, it's, like, as she's literally talked about, like, he has, like, done stuff to her.
Is there hinted of stuff like that? Of abuse?
No, he made her half robot.
Oh, that's like, true, actually. Yeah, robot. You're right.
Not, like, abuse or anything like that. But like,
not abuse, like, he just mutated her.
Yeah, like he's taken like her left arm off and put like a robot arm on. Like he's
Winter Soldier.
Like he's made her less of herself.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
I feel like he's probably like played so much with like her brain that like, you know, he can just say like, oh, go fetch this orb and she's like, okay, I'll do whatever it takes to get it. So I feel like she's like she's like the tortured character, because I feel like a lot of movies have like that one person who kind of has been tortured, like whether it's like emotionally, physically, mentally, stuff like that. Like, she kind of endures, like, all of it. Obviously, in the next one, she's more of, like, an anti-hero. She ends up, like, working with the Guardians in the end. But we're not, like, there yet. But she's my favorite character in Guardians.
Gamora actually changes, too. She actually switches, mm-hmm. because doesn't she... She says, you know, to Ronan at one point, I think, that you're going to kill Thanos? Well, okay, then I'll side with you. So there's no love for Thanos for her in some ways, but she sort of tolerates him as her father, I guess? He's biological Nebula, father, right?
Nebula. To Nebula, yeah.
Yeah.
Not to Gamora. Gamora, obviously, is the adopted daughter, and he's also, like, experimented on her and, like, changed who she is, too. So she has, like, a big... hatred for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously she was either able to, like, escape or he let her go. Like, whatever reason, she's not, like, you know, with him anymore. She's trying to stop him because she knows how powerful and he is and what he can do. But with Nebula, it's like she's still, like, trapped with him.
Mm.
And by now, I guess he's done so much that she's just kind of like, I guess this is how it is. Like, So I think I have a lot of sympathy for her, just because she's been through so much, so I feel like she's just, it's not really her who's choosing what she does.
And she's looking for a way out.
Yeah.
That's different, and so, yeah, I think that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah. Yeah, she's looking for something new, and a fresh start, and, I mean, we see that the groundwork laid more in the second movie, but we do see in this one the hint of being dissatisfied with the way things are.
Yeah, like, one thing I just thought of is, I believe it's in, it isn't, it's in the next movie, but, at one point, well, if for the most part of Guardians 2, she's, like, you know, in handcuffs with the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
She eventually, like, escapes, and then she's going after Gamora, and we find out that, like, Gamora has always been Thanos' like, favorite daughter.
Hmm.
And she's not even his actual daughter. So she has a lot of, like hatred for Gamora at the beginning because she's, like, you know, you're not even his. And you're, like, you know, sent out to do fights and you're coming back with, like, you know, the head of the victim. Like, and Nebula would go out and, like, you know, she'd be doing the same stuff, but it just wouldn't be, like, as good. So obviously he would favoritize her, but she would be doing so much more work, and she would have to endure so much more that she feels like she isn't as, like she isn't as valued as what Gamora is.
That's interesting. It's almost the reverse of Thor, because Loki is the adopted one, and Thor is the favorite, and he's the pure son, if you will, he's the biological son.
Yeah.
But this is reversed. You've got the one who's the biological daughter who is the least favorite of the two, which is interesting. Hadn't thought of it that way.
And I think, like, because she's endured so much and, like, you know, Gamora's just able to kind of, like, roam free, it just, like, heightens that because she's, like, trapped with Thanos. And we obviously see that in Guardians 2, like, they are able to kind of work together. They're able to kind of, like, sit down and really talk and say how, well, not really sit down, but, like, they're able to kind of, like, say how they feel, and they're able to at least come to, like, a mutual, like, agreement that Thanos needs to be stopped. Because even, like, in Guardians 1, like, at this point, like, I think Nebula is really just trying to get away from him, that she'll just do whatever he says to make him like her enough that he'll just be like, you're free to go.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I know.
Well, we are inching closer to the Infinity War, which is coming up April 27th. Now they moved it up a week, so that means there's going to be a couple of weeks where we have some double episodes, or maybe on the last week we'll just do one a day. Maybe that's what we could do as well. That could be a different way to handle it.
That could work.
But at any rate, we are almost done Phase 2. And next week we will be back with Age of Ultron. It's not really an age, it's more of a week of Ultron, actually. A month of Ultron that they go through.
2 days of Ultron.
2 days of Ultron.
Wait.
It's not a full age. So we will be back next week, and until then, to Infinity War. and maybe beyond.